Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's July the 11th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. In agricultural news, Canada may have its seventh case of mad cow disease and the second in the last 2 weeks. South Korea says it is unlikely to take U.S. beef imports until Canadian cattle are segregated in the processing plant. And the VP of Producer Affairs for the National Cotton Council says it's way too early to suggest Washington simply extend the current farm bill. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear an update on the latest crop conditions in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Nebraska. The respective state statisticians will take us through the numbers. Oh, and just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, willag.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to willag.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. July contract in the wheat pit at 398, up 15.5 cents. September's at 416.5, we're up 13.5. July wheat in Kansas City, 16 cents higher at $5.17 a bushel. July corn futures in Chicago at 253.75, up 6. September's at 264, up 6.75. And December corn at 279.25, up 6.75. March contract up 6.25 at $2.90. July soybeans at 607, we're up 4 for the day. August contract a penny and 3/4 higher at $6.10 even. And the September futures in the bean pit at 618, up 2.5 cents a bushel. Next year's November contract, or this year's November contract, at 632.5, up 2.75 for the day. July soybean meal at 173.40, unchanged on the day. July bean oil at 2 higher at 27.32. August feeder cattle at 113.65, they're down 47.5 cents for the day. August live cattle at $84 and a nickel, were off 15. And June lean hogs, rather July lean hogs at $70.82.5, were up 22.5 cents for the day. Taking a quick look at the outside markets, we'll begin with the crude oil contract. August, $74.05 a barrel, up 44 cents. The dollar at 85.39 at this hour, that's down 0.11. And the Dow at 11,095, down 7 points for the hour. The August crude oil, or rather the August gold at $643.10, up $17 for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me first what happened in the wheat pits. Minneapolis not as high as Chicago and Kansas City for the day.
Well, you know, it's been surging ahead a little harder than the other two exchanges have over the past 3 or 4 days. Todd, number one, the crop ratings, of course, dropping 10% in the spring, hard red spring area. That and with the forecast of continued hot, dry weather in those areas basically just sort of put real fire under the wheat markets. And I think that, you know, that along with the scattered rain in Iowa, really around the Ames area in a circle going out around from there, got some decent rains, but the rest of it got fairly light rains for as dry and as hot as it's supposed to be, and that, of course, set the stage for a weather market in the midst of rain.
And in the midst of the corn pit as well, I suppose.
Yes. I mean, you know, as we say that, you know, a lot of those areas have been somewhat dry out there. We saw some rolled corn north of Champaign over the weekend as we traveled north, quite a bit there, and they said the Iowa areas was worse, and southwest Iowa especially been extremely dry, and Nebraska areas and like that. Now, like I said, there was some rain showers coming across there. We saw the green on the weather maps, but when we saw the totals come across, why, there wasn't that big of an area that got substantial rains out there, and we, of course, do have some substantial heat moving into that area after this rain passes through.
And given that, if you take a look at the crop conditions from yesterday, 64% of the corn crop rated good to excellent yesterday. That compares last year to 58%.
You know, really, we are in better shape than last year, and with the rains that did come across, the difference this year is the demand we have coming in and the ethanol enthusiasm, Todd. So I guess that is the difference in what we get a little upset about or what we look at in comparison. And that's what it's all about, is the supply, demand, and perception. And remember the word perception, because we are trading the futures market of what we're going to need to fill these ethanol needs.
We've spent some time on the air now talking about the basis into this fall and next spring and whether it'll pay farmers to actually store the crop. Most believe that that's the case. But the input costs are awfully high, and the carrying charges have increased because of energy costs.
Well, sure they have, Todd. For a couple, like I said, to dry this corn, to aerate it, everything like that, all of our energy costs are higher, and of course, putting in there. But what we're thinking or looking at, and the reason is we're going to have a lot of carryover corn, number one, taking up bin space, and we're going to have still a good crop this year, or quite a few bushels to try to put away. So we're going to try to be buying that room away from wheat, which we're looking at for the basis to probably narrow on in on compared to the wide basis it is. Compared to the soybeans, is to be buying for storage space. And we do know that a lot of ethanol plants will be coming online later, next year. And then they'll be looking for those bushels. And hopefully there'll be more of a market, and the basis should be a little bit narrower for, say, the March through July time frame a year from now.
What's the question farmers are asking you most often when they call in?
Is it time for me to sell yet? How much higher do you think it can go?
And
of course, we'd like to be a little bit protective of what we say in that respect. But, we're probably going to start scaling into some sales here with thoughts, depending on where they're at sold, with the idea of using some calls against or some option strategies that way, Todd. So we are feeling that, this necessarily isn't the top, but it's going to be time to be thinking about making a little more coverage.
Taking a look at the Mercantile Exchange for the day, the numbers there not reflecting probably all that's been happening on the world stage, or at least it appears that way. Canada announcing it probably has its second mad cow disease animal in the last 2 weeks. That's seven, I think, in total for them. Then South Korea, as you'll hear just a little bit later in our newscast, saying, hey, if you can't segregate the Canadian cattle from the U.S. cattle on those processing lines, we don't want them.
Not a very good sign, is it, Todd?
Not really.
But we've had some tremendous demand in the beef market. We've sort of stabilized off here a little bit. I think they were the cutout was down about 87 cents here today. The hogs suffered a little bit from the golden roll along the way. But just pretty much, when you look at how much corn was up today, generally affects, that's what's going in to make them cattle get to market or to the processing plants. The way corn has surged up and the demand for that there, this cattle market's hung in there pretty darn good.
We'll talk to you in a couple more weeks, I suppose. I'll be gone next week and the week after that, so I'll talk to you sometime in August. How about that?
That would be great, and you have a great trip.
All right, thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoon.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will take a look at the weather forecast with us. Speaking of weather forecast, our own Ed Kieser says tonight, mostly cloudy skies, some scattered showers and thunderstorms across the two-state region. They'll be locally heavy. Lows will range from 67, he says, in northwestern Illinois to 73 in the south. Tomorrow, northern Illinois, partly sunny. In northern Indiana and in central sections, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. In the south, cloudy, some areas of rain and thunderstorms. The highs tomorrow will range from 82 in northeastern Indiana to 88 in southwestern Illinois. Wind speed 6 to 14 miles an hour, and the minimum afternoon relative humidities ranging between 50 and 65%. Dave Dickey's here now with today's news.
In agricultural news, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency says it may have another case of mad cow disease. A 50-month-old dairy cow from Alberta. Preliminary screening tests did not rule out BSE, so samples have been sent to the country's confirmatory lab in Winnipeg. If verified, it would be Canada's seventh case of mad cow disease and the second in the past 2 weeks. Meanwhile, the Canadian cattle industry is concerned about reports that South Korea will not resume beef trade with the U.S. until Canadian beef products are segregated in U.S. processing plants. Canada exported about $100 million worth of beef to South Korea before it closed its border in 2003. Illinois farmers are taking advantage of a program that lets them recycle their industrial-size pesticide containers. As Chris Lehman reports, the program is about to reach a milestone.
State agriculture officials say the pesticide container recycling program will collect its 2 millionth container sometime this summer. The program was started in 1990 and lets farmers dispose of their empty chemical containers. Chris Herbert is with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
It allows the farmers to be involved in the recycling process when they're finished with their agrochemical containers that if they're not disposed properly, they could be harmful to the environment.
Herbert says the containers are ground into plastic chips that are used to make shipping pallets, fence posts, and other products. Farmers don't have to pay anything to drop their containers off. Herbert says she doesn't know how much the recycling program costs the state each year. I'm Chris Lehman.
The Department of Energy is publishing a new plan, which it hopes will boost research on cellulosic ethanol. The DOE publication outlines the research necessary to overcome the substantial challenges to large-scale production of cellulosic ethanol, including ways to maximize biomass feedstock productivity and better ways to break down cellulosic materials into sugars. The Vice President of Producer Affairs for the National Cotton Council says it's too early to suggest lawmakers extend the current farm bill. Craig Brown says serious debate on the 2007 farm bill has not even started, much less completion of Senate and House field hearings.
But I think it will actually be the spring of next year before we really get serious about a farm bill debate. A lot of it is going to depend upon what happens, if anything, in the WTO trade talks. A lot of it will depend on what kind of budget scenario Congress faces and how much spending authority they give the ag committees to write into the farm bill. And so there's a lot of factors that go into it. But I think we would be satisfied to keep this farm bill for as long as we can.
Brown made his comments during the Louisiana Farm Bureau's annual convention in New Orleans. Asian soybean rust has been found in a second patch of kudzu in southwestern Louisiana. According to Louisiana State University plant pathologist Dr. Clayton Hollier, the most recent report is just a few miles from the location of the first confirmed rust outbreak last week.
This was found about 5 miles from the kudzu that was found infected with rust in the Lafayette area, actually in the Broussard area, the week before.
And soybean rust was verified Monday on a sentinel plot in southwestern Georgia. USDA is urging southwestern Georgia producers to consider spraying as the crop enters flowering growth stage. Commercial soybeans in Georgia are currently at stage V7 to R4. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Coming up in the next several weeks, Dave Dickey and I will be in and out of the office. Next week, we'll both be gone. Dave headed to New Orleans on a mission trip with some youth to help with the cleanup in that area from Katrina last year, of course. And I'm off to Ukraine for a couple of weeks, the 17th through the 29th, but we'll be doing some work for University of Illinois Extension. So those 2 weeks are covered by the staff here at WILL. You can expect everything to go up on the website as usual, and for all the ag coverage to continue just like it does each and every day. Our thanks to the staff at WILL AM 580 and to the College of ACES, Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, for filling in the gaps while Dave and I are away over the next couple of weeks. Well, up next, we'll hear from the state statisticians across the Midwest. They'll update the crop conditions in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Nebraska. Nationwide, by the way, 38% of the soybean crop is now blooming, and that's 10 percentage points ahead of the 5-year rolling average. 7% of the crop has set pods. The condition rating for the soybean crop has dropped considerably from last week, but it's still far better than a year ago when 54% of the crop was in good to excellent condition. This year, 58% lays in those two categories. Still, last week, that number was 64%, so a 6% drop in condition rating for the soybeans. 64% of the corn crop this week is in good or excellent condition. That rating, by the way, compares to 68% a week ago and 58% a year ago.
This is Mark Schleusener with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending July 9. Precipitation was below average last week, and so were temperatures in most locations. The state as a whole averaged 0.54 inches of rain, about 1/4 inch below normal. Temperatures were almost 3 degrees below normal around the state. Topsoil moisture around the state is rated as 24% very short, 39% short, and 37% adequate. There were 6.3 days suitable for field work last week, and farmers used them to spray for weed and insect pests, as well as harvest wheat and hay. Japanese beetles are reported to be very numerous in southern parts of the state. Wheat harvest is now almost complete. 95% of the crop has been harvested compared to 94% last year and 92% for the 5-year average. Oats harvest reached 12% complete, just slightly ahead of normal. 40% of the state's corn crop is silking compared to 49% 1 year ago and 36% normally. 3% of the crop has reached the dough stage, the same as the 5-year average for this date. 36% of soybeans are blooming, which is slightly ahead of normal, and 4% are setting pods, the same as normal. Red clover harvest has reached 97% complete, and the third cutting of alfalfa hay has reached 9% complete. The corn crop is rated 2% very poor, 7% poor, 28% fair, 51% good, and 12% excellent. Soybeans are rated 2% very poor, 8% poor, 33% fair, 47% good, and 10% excellent. Grain sorghum conditions are rated 14% very poor to poor, 36% fair, and 50% good to excellent. Pasture conditions are rated 20% very poor to poor, 33% fair, and 47% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Steve Wilson of the Indiana Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop Weather Report for the week ending July 9th. Winter wheat harvest made good progress in central and northern areas of Indiana last week. The corn crop was reported to be very uneven in development, with some only knee-high and some already tasseling. Soybean plant development also varies greatly, with some fields blooming to some fields just emerging due to replanting. Irrigation systems were running in some northwest and north-central areas as rain showers have been spotty. There were almost 6 full days suitable for field work last week. Corn condition is rated 60% good to excellent compared to 34% last year at this time. 13% of the corn acreage has silked compared to 24% for the 5-year average. Soybean condition is rated 59% good to excellent compared with 37% last year at this time. 12% of the soybean acreage is blooming, compared to 27% for the five-year average. Harvest of winter wheat is 70% complete, compared to 74% for the five-year average. By area, wheat harvest is 45% complete in the north, 75% in the central, and 94% in the south. Second cutting of alfalfa is 53% complete. Major activities during the week included attending county fairs, spraying chemicals, baling hay and straw, and mowing roadsides and ditches. Pasture condition is rated 75% good to excellent, and livestock are under very little stress. This is Steve Wilson with the Indiana Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
This is Joe Prusaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending July 9, 2006. Much of Iowa received little to no rain this week, while isolated areas of east-central Iowa have too much moisture. Cooler temperatures have brought the soybean and corn crops some relief, although precipitation is still needed. As corn pollination nears, moisture concerns are heightening. There were 3.5 days suitable for fieldwork last week, compared to 5.8 days last year. Topsoil moisture was rated 67% very short or short, 31% adequate, and 2% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 60% very short or short, 39% adequate, and 1% surplus across the state. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 1.9 degrees below normal. Oats headed increased to 98%, equivalent to the five-year average. Corn tasseling reached 21%, ahead of the 17% at this point in 2005. Corn silk stands at 8%. Corn condition was reported as 9% very poor or poor, 23% fair, and 68% good or excellent. Soybean blooming was reported as 51%. The soybean condition was reported as 9% very poor or poor, 26% fair, and 65% good or excellent. The second alfalfa harvest was reported as 62% complete. The heat and dry conditions have impacted pastures, with some going dormant. This has been Joe Prusaki, State Director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Harris reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending July 9, 2006. Moderate temperatures during the week limited declines in soil moisture and crop conditions. Corn conditions declined, with irrigated fields rated 71% good or excellent, while dryland corn fields rated 45% good or excellent, both below year-ago levels. Soybean conditions declined during the week and rated 50% good or excellent. 51% of the fields had bloomed and 5% were setting pods. Sorghum conditions rated 53% good or excellent. Second cutting alfalfa was 74% complete, ahead of last year's 62% and average of 50%. Alfalfa conditions rated 11% very poor, 17% poor, 36% fair, 31% good, and 5% excellent. Pasture and range conditions rated 20% very poor, 31% poor, 35% fair, 14% good, and none excellent. That makes over 51% of the pasture in poor or very poor condition. This has been Mark Harris, Director of USDA NAS, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on WILL AM 580. It's a Tuesday afternoon. I'll be back in just about 2 minutes when we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather forecast. Your regional newscast comes up next.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Bunge North America in Danville. Bunge recognizes the importance of agricultural production to our society and economy and the role producers and processors play in providing food and feed to the world.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Former state senator and lobbyist Arthur Ron Swanson was placed on probation and 8 months of home confinement today for lying to a grand jury investigating corruption in former Governor George Ryan's administration. The 80-year-old Swanson pleaded guilty to the charge, admitting that he falsely testified before the grand jury. Today he apologized to the court, saying he was ashamed of what he had done. Senator Dick Durbin, just back from a fact-finding trip to Guantanamo Bay Naval Base, says the U.S. should begin phasing out operations at its detention facilities there. Durbin says despite the best efforts of American troops, Guantanamo has become a powerful negative symbol around the world for failures of the Bush administration. Durbin spoke on the same day the Bush administration said all Guantanamo detainees are entitled to protections under the Geneva Conventions. The Champaign City Council needs to fill an at-large seat left vacant by the resignation of Kathy Yenin. Council members will discuss how to proceed at tonight's study session. Mayor Jerry Schweihart worries it could be difficult to reach a consensus on a replacement. The council was recently bitterly divided over a smoking ban in bars and restaurants. Governor Mitch Daniels says the state of Indiana ended the fiscal year with revenue exceeding spending by $371 million. He says the state has erased a budget deficit estimated 1 year ago to be at $600 million. He credits controlled spending and growth in tax collections. The University of Illinois' Krannert Center is receiving a $1.125 million matching grant from the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation. Krannert Center Assistant Director Tammy Kitka says the grant will strengthen the Performing Arts Center's ability to create boundary-pushing new work serving more the campus and off-campus communities. The foundation grant will be awarded over a 3-year period. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
You're listening to Ag Programming on WILL AM 580, Urbana, Illinois. We're now joined by Don Day on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Now, we've had a little rainfall here in Champaign County, Illinois, and some across the Midwest. Tell me what kind of amounts we're looking at.
Well, a quick glance at the airport at the Champaign-Urbana area, just about an inch of rain has fallen in the last 24 hours, although if you go a little bit further south, down around Danville, they're pushing over 2 inches, and an inch and a half to 2 inches in some areas down there. As you usually see with thunderstorm activity, amounts vary, but through the next 2 days, today, tomorrow, and into tomorrow night, most of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and even some areas of southern and eastern Iowa and northwest and northern Missouri going to see some more chances of rain. After that, though, we go back to a hot, drier pattern that will last through the weekend and into early next week.
You think there'll be enough rainfall across the Midwest to satisfy the crop for a bit?
Well, for a little bit, but not for too long, especially since we see 90-degree heat coming back, and it's going to settle in for a while. There's going to be a big area of high pressure developing over the central and western part of the country, and we're going to see some summertime heat building up. And it may not be until another 7 to 9 days before good rain chances return. So it's going to help in the short term, but probably by late this weekend and early next week, we're going to be hoping for rain again.
The early calls had part of that really hot dome across a good portion of Illinois, if not all of it, though I think it's moved to the west just a bit. Where do you expect those temperatures to be the highest?
Well, I would have to say you'll probably see the highest temperatures affect everybody in the sense that the heat wave will affect everybody, but it's going to set up a little bit further west, at least initially, across Nebraska, the Dakotas, Kansas, Oklahoma, western Iowa, and Missouri. That will be developing over the next few days. The hottest temperatures will be moving into our neck of the woods as we get into Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, when mid-90s are going to be a good bet, and lows at night only in the low to mid-70s.
And we're still worried about the spring wheat in the northern areas of the Midwest and parts of the Great Plains states. They won't fare so well over
they
the next
9 days.
They won't.
This heat, not good news, and the rain chances aren't going to be very good. They do have some rain chances next week, mid to late next week, but that's so far out right now, hard to really put your finger on it and be too confident about it. But those areas are definitely going to be hurting some more with this heat and dryness while we get some temporary relief here in the Midwest with the rains today and tomorrow.
We'd better check in on some other global areas. The corn crop in China, maybe the wheat crop in the Ukraine and parts of the CIS, which should be just about into harvest season.
That's right. Well, first of all, starting over in China, pretty good. They're looking at good chances of rain. Some of the northern areas, some of the northern growing areas are going to be a little bit warmer and drier, but for the most part, China's growing area is going to see some favorable growing conditions with some good temperatures, good precipitation chances. Same proportions of Russia as well, as they have the best chances in that part of the country for some more showers.
We appreciate you being with us for the day.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
That's today's closing market report. Sure, be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets with your Director of Ag Programming here at WILL. For Dave Dickey, in fact, I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.